Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our state representative, Chip Baltimore, joining us once again. So thank you very much, sir, for being on.
Good morning, Coltrane.
Well, first of all, Mr. Baltimore, I know there's been some things talked about over on the House side, even though we're kind of in the last stretch of the legislative session. One of those important topics being the House recently passing, or out of committee anyway, the tax reform bill. Can you tell us a little bit about the details on that issue?
Sure. You know, the state of Iowa is anticipated to get a windfall from the federal tax reform. As the federal tax reform gets implemented, that means that Iowans will be paying less in federal income taxes. As a result, they have a higher state taxable income, which means that their state tax bills will go up. So we've pretty much been of the opinion that the state of Iowa doesn't need to take that windfall and just increase spending. We think that that windfall should go back to the taxpayers that earned it in the first place. That's a key part of our tax reform bill. So when we're looking at how do we accomplish that, we wanted to make sure we were focusing on middle and lower income families. First of all, doubling the standard deduction. Most people, especially the middle and lower income folks, do not itemize their deductions. They just use the standard deduction. So by doubling the standard deduction, we are exempting from state income tax more of the taxpayers' incomes. And so that will put more money in people's pockets. The other thing that we're doing that's going to be very, very helpful is lowering the tax rates in all of the brackets. So by way of example, the most common middle income tax bracket is going to be reduced by about 10%. The upper bracket is going to be reduced by 0.01%. For those businesses and farmers in the community, we have increased the deductions for equipment. Right now there's an exemption of I believe it's $25,000 of equipment that can be deducted, and we've increased that to $100,000 just to try to make sure that we're encouraging investment and purchasing of and modernization of equipment throughout the state. So that was another key piece of the 179B deduction. It's a federal provision, but those listeners that use that know what I'm talking about. You know, another key part of the tax reform bill is a modernization of our sales tax. You know, right now, if you go online and buy something from out of state and that out of state company doesn't have a presence in the state of Iowa, they don't collect or send in sales tax on it. Whereas if you go into your local retailer in downtown Jefferson and buy something off the shelf, they charge you sales tax and send that into the state. And we are leaking literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year in lost sales tax by these companies from out of state that don't collect and remit sales tax. So we've put in a provision that will allow the state of Iowa to collect sales tax from these out-of-state sellers, the large ones especially that do a lot of business in the state. That provision is going to be contingent upon a favorable U.S. Supreme Court ruling that would allow us to do that. But we wanted to put it into place so it's ready to go as soon as the Supreme Court rules in our favor, which we believe that it will. So, you know, again, it's just a matter of leveling the playing field there. You know, it's not very fair to those local retailers that pay property taxes and have payroll here in the state, so they pay payroll taxes and all that, and they have to collect 7% sales tax from their customers. It's not fair to try to expect them to compete with these larger companies, especially that are not collecting sales tax and that can, in essence, give people a 7% discount. And it's certainly something that, from a state tax policy, that we think is a good, solid, consistent policy.
And another thing that was kind of tax-oriented, if you will, is the Secure and Advanced Vision for Education, or the Save Penny Tax. Can you tell us a little bit about what the changes that the House made there?
The current sales tax, 1 cent sales tax, that is charged and used to finance school facility buildings, basically, throughout the state, is scheduled to expire in 2029. Because these school projects require bonding over several years, and this 1 cent sales tax are used to repay those bonds, you know, it's getting to be a problem for schools to be able to bond when that revenue source is going to expire in 2029. So the bill, in essence, would extend the expiration date out to 2049, so another 20 years to give those oftentimes 10, 20-year bonds, the opportunity to be repaid with the sales tax money. One change that was important in the House version of this would have provided somewhat more of those sales tax revenues to be allocated to property tax relief in some of the poorer districts around the state. Another piece of it that would be helpful is it gives the voters the right to reject certain projects as far as being eligible to use these sales tax dollars. So those are good things, to be very, very transparent to the people that are listening. I did not vote for this bill and was one of three. I think it passed 95-3. There were a couple of people absent, but there were three of us that did not vote for it. And I'm happy to explain why. Mm-hmm. Knowing full well it was going to pass, I thought it was important to take a stand for rural Iowa. I'm supportive of the 1 cent sales tax. I simply think that we have a disparity in ability to pay in this state when it comes to those school districts that are in very large, prosperous, you know, property-rich areas with lots of commercial property and lots of high-end homes, and they can very easily pay for a bond issue for a $100 million school building without having to tap into this 1 cent sales tax revenue. You know, by the same token, as the good people of Greene County know very, very well right now, simply trying to get a $35 million, much smaller costing school building built in a rural area is very, very challenging. You got a bond issue of $21 million. Mm-hmm. You're taking $4.5 million from the Grow Greene County folks. County itself has to kick into this just to try to piece the financing together. But the additional levy rate is $2.70 per thousand of property value. I think that's too high, especially for a very, very modestly sized and priced school building. So I would rather see more of the state 1 cent sales tax money going to projects like Greene County's, increase the allocation that goes to that so that there's less of an impact on the Grow Greene County Fund and there's less of an impact on Greene County as a whole. Make it a fairer playing field for school districts around the state to try to build top-notch facilities for their students. You know, instead of having to see such a dramatic difference between the $100 million high schools in Waukee and Johnston and, you know, a much smaller, you know, school in the rural areas.
And that's our guest for today's Community State Bank and Peyton Let's Talk Greene County program, here with our state representative Chip Baltimore once again. Community State Bank and Peyton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.